Oh, here we go. Are you excited? Can you feel it? Much of this. And here we go. Don't be nervous. 3, 2.
Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring 5th Quarter Fan Reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
On a victorious Saturday evening, Tennessee hangs half a hundy on Vandy and makes him like it. Vandy with two late scores can't hide the fact. Fact is, the Volunteer State's back into control of the large orange as Tennessee rolls Vandy like a, to quote the great Herbie Hancock, joint cigarette, and they defeat the Commodores tonight 53-28, a game that was semi-close early, was a contest early on, in a game that Tennessee ripped open in the second half, in a game that was really over in the middle of the third quarter. I give Tennessee a lot of credit tonight for the way they played. Defensively, it was kind of an uneven effort early on, but hey, you have these things. Clemson had to struggle through one today against a bad football team. You have these things. It's called college football. It's why we love it. I'm bringing Bino in here without further ado. We're going to get as many phone calls in as humanly possible. On a night where Tennessee wins 53-28, on a night where Hurd gets 120 yards, Kamara one away from the century mark himself, Tennessee averages 6.4 yards per carry on the ground, and on a night where the ground game, as Tennessee with 523 yards of total offense, 331 of them on the ground, and they win rather easily over a rather pretty bad Vanderbilt football team. Bino, get in here. Good evening to you, sir, and welcome.
Tony B, it's nice to get this series back
yes.
The way it's supposed to be played. I was real pleased with the offense throughout the game. You said we had some hiccups defensively in the first half, but just a dominating second half performance that put punctuation mark on what's another step forward regular season for the program.
Couple of great.
Our eighth happy fifth quarter.
Eight happy fifth quarters, and there will be nine. And I, by the way, want Michigan in a bowl game. Let it be said. I want to play the team that matters. I want that matchup people have been talking about. I want to see Tennessee staff match wits with Jim Harbaugh's staff in a month. And I want to see us play somebody that matters in a bowl game. No offense to Iowa last year, but I want to see somebody that can play a little bit. And, by the way, that Iowa team, I think I got a lot of observations from college football today. A lot of observations from this Tennessee game, including, let's just start here. I like the way tonight's game was managed. I appreciate the fact that Tennessee up 13, they chose to go for it on fourth and goal from the 1 foot line, even though they didn't get it. But it set the tone for the rest of the half. Bino, we were talking about before we came on, but I want to think that this season was about learning for that football team and for the head coach as well.
And Tony, I think that we've seen some of that. If we're fair,
yep.
Last week, the clock management and the game management was what we had hoped we would see earlier in the season.
Yep.
And I know Vandy's not Oklahoma, but you get down there at the one, you tell your offense you've got faith in them, you tell your defense you've got faith in them. If you don't make it, And instead of getting 3 points, you trade that for nine.
Tennessee wins.
And the game's over.
Yeah. Tennessee wins. Let's celebrate that fact. A lot of kids got to play. Let's celebrate that fact. UNC is going to get Clemson next week. Let's celebrate that fact. I want Michigan in the New Year's Day Bowl. Let's celebrate that fact. And it's time to start asking, when you look at the bottom of the top 25, does Tennessee belong making the survey here at the end of the season? I think they merit being at the bottom of that survey with an 8-4 record. When you consider the close losses they've had, the only ugly loss of the season, really, that's incongruent with the rest of Tennessee's body of work is that Arkansas game, but Tennessee had a terrible hangover.
Yeah, no question, Tony. And Arkansas couldn't have fallen on a better slot in the schedule
yep.
than they failed.
Yep.
Right after Florida. So I agree with you. I don't know if we make the top 25. But there aren't 25 teams in the country better than this Tennessee football team at this point in time.
I want to be in the top 25, period.
I do too.
This survey, this team deserves it. Frank Beamer goes out a winner today. Fuente looks like he's the guy at Virginia Tech. These are all topics that will be on the board as we move along tonight. Kirby Stupid in South Carolina just seems stupid. Vern Lundquist was in rare form today. I'll share a little bit of that with you. Andre Ware was in extremely rare form today. I think that Andre Ware is borderline idiotic, the more I listen to him. But Tennessee, on a day where they made Vandy early on look like the New England Patriots offense, it was a 17-14 game, the second quarter just underway. Vanderbilt had a couple of opportunities early, late in the half, and then Cam Sutton, the special teams, as they've done all year. And ironically enough, it was the turf in Neyland Stadium. One of the huge stars of today's game, the turf. The turf in Neyland Stadium, ironically enough, Sutton slips. And just his slip, it seemed like, disrupted the coverage of Vanderbilt just enough that he's able to find a gap, as we've seen all year. He's such an explosive player, and score a touchdown. Beano, Neyland Stadium, a tremendous crowd today. Tremendous crowds all season. The birth pangs are there for a championship run for the Volunteers about to occur here. You can see it. You can feel it. You can taste it. It's in the air tonight. That field in Neyland Stadium, Beano, Dave Hart, is bucking, has the balls. Sorry, ladies, don't mean to use that term. He's got the unmitigated gall and testicular fortitude to ask for an extension on his contract. Now, he's not getting it. He ought to be fired for how bad that field is in Neyland Stadium. And they saw this last year, by the way. Thank God nobody got hurt. It's a minor miracle that nobody got hurt out there today. Did you see that, Beano? And then we'll go to the phones.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, it's absolutely inexcusable. And the shame of it is, it was better this game than it was the two games prior. And it
wow.
still was unplayable.
To the phones we go. The UT club hockey team ought to play one over there in honor of Dave Hart. Put the skates on and go do it. As I remind you, you're listening to the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. You're the star here. Commercial break, free home, immediate reaction after each Tennessee home football and basketball game. 865-200-5402. You can find me on Twitter at Tony Basilio. That's B as in boy, A, S as in Sam, I-L-I-O. He's Beano Jeff Henderson. And how do we find you on the Twitterer, Beano?
Beano Jeff.
Beano Jeff, you can't beat it. And let's go to the phones and get as many people in as I remind you. One game underway in the SEC we'll be watching tonight. Ole Miss pummeling Mississippi State 21-0 first quarter in the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State is dropping a huge egg thus far. To the phones we go as Stanford takes an early. Actually, they're tied with Notre Dame straight up at 7. Let's go to the phones. It'll be Beano, Docky Boy Sinclair, followed by Jerry Boy Colquitt, followed by Keith Hatfield. We'll do a basketball overtime for you at the back end of this. We'll talk about today's Tennessee loss to Nebraska. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony B, Bino.
Hey, welcome in.
Well, I'm not going to waste my last regular season fifth quarter phone call talking about Dave Stark. It was atrocious. But how about we're 8-4 at the end of the year. Doesn't matter how we got here, we are 8-4. It's a significant improvement over the desert we've been in. Butch has got some things righted now. We hung 50 on Kentucky and Vanderbilt. And we've got a running machine going on over there. But I'm with you, Tony. I want some of Michigan. You think they want any of us after the way they look today trying to stop Ohio State running straight at them?
You know, I've been saying that for a couple weeks, and people in our fan base, I don't know what the deal is, but they have, what's the word? They have the little man syndrome. I don't know. They can't understand that we're very good. I want Michigan, damn it, in a bowl game. I don't not just want Michigan. I want them badly in a bowl game. Badly.
Oh,
I want to beat somebody that matters.
I want to get 400 yards rushing on this spot and make Jim Harbaugh like it.
Yeah, guys, this football team is just their ability to run the football. Vandy and Missouri are who they are, but no one had run the football on them all year long, basically, until we did it. We're going to be able to run the football on most anyone. Robbie, you're right. From the second that Florida busted the big play, the season wasn't what it could be, but it most certainly was a nice step forward.
Oh, absolutely. Finish up with take Michigan behind the woodshed and pummel them and finish the strong recruiting class. Let's go after it next year. Hopefully Butch has learned some stuff, and maybe, we've got all off season to talk about it. Maybe he's able to tweak his staff a little bit. I think the Dobbs desperately needs a quarterback coach. But all in all, man, pretty successful season, especially looking back on what we've been through. We've got the most prolific running quarterback in Tennessee history, single season, and that Dobbs, could he pass a little bit better? Yeah, but the receiver sure didn't help him this year. So, I don't know, all in all, I'm pretty pleased with it. And just the stick to Vanderbilt, they suck so bad.
It's beautiful, man. Thank you, Robbie.
Seeing your boy James Franklin take it today, Tony.
Yes, and Todd Blackledge just blasted him on Twitter. Blasted him.
I got one last thing for you. You realize the Philadelphia Phillies have the best winning percentage of all the Philly fan franchises this year?
You realize you're out of here? 865-200-5402 if you want to get in. On a day when Kentucky gets our little hearts broken.
Good, great.
They squandered on a huge 3-touchdown lead early and got outscored 38-3, Bino.
Yeah, they were ahead 21-0. I was watching it, and it's just that's just Kentucky football, period.
Butch Jones, ladies and gentlemen, I tip my cap to him. The cap gets tipped to Butch Jones. Make no mistake about it. The cap gets absolutely tipped to him. Let's go to the phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. That's the number you'll need to get through tonight as we celebrate on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you're the star of the game. The other folks are playing nothing but one commercial after another, after another, after another, and we are on here taking phone calls. So let's get the next one in here, as you've got Tony Basilio and Bino Jeff Henderson at your service tonight. Tennessee finishes the regular season 8-4, 53-28, a winner over Vanderbilt in the game that was 53-14, and Vandy tacked on a couple late touchdowns in garbage time. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, this is Eric from Germany.
Hey, Eric, get on in here, man.
Hey, it's nice talking to you. It's 2 o'clock in the morning here, but it was well worth watching the game because, as your previous caller suggested, it did flip the script, and it was really nice to see that, especially after their defensive end this weekend was talking all that smack in that really weird Jordan Rodgers YouTube video surfaced today, which was just really uncomfortable to watch. I don't know if you actually saw that or not. Anyway, the point being is it was just a really fun game to watch. And if Alvin Kamara tries to hurdle one more player, he will actually make the ESPN top 10. I'm pretty sure of that.
I'll tell you what Alvin Kamara is. He is a bad, bad man. And I know his name's Kamara, but it sounds better saying Kamara, so I'm going to roll with that. But Alvin Kamara is a bad man in the open field.
I completely agree. And I actually completely agree with your take that they should play Michigan. I actually want that. I actually think that Butch Jones would actually be up for that, for the sheer fact that that's his home state. And so if he can upstage his home state in a bowl game on New Year's Day, I think for him, that's just, for him, that's like the pinnacle, really. And I would really love nothing more than that. And because we've been saying that for years, Michigan and Tennessee have really been mirroring each other, for pretty much like the past decade in terms of, bad news and good news. So I think it would actually be, really good for both programs to have that kind of game. And of course, there's always those rumors that are floating around that John Gruden kind of has his hands in the pot because, you know, he's from Tampa and the whole Outback Bowl and those commercials and everything. I mean, it's kind of fun to talk about, but I think that might actually have a play into it.
I want to see Tennessee in this game, in this bowl game, play somebody that matters. Period, end of sentence. And that's why I want to see them play Michigan, because it'd be a great way to begin next football season.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as far as today's game goes, I think the turning point for me in watching this game, as you mentioned earlier, was when Butch decided to go for it on fourth down. And there was a whole bunch of people on the message boards kind of complaining about, oh man, you gotta take the points here, blah, 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 cause they're Vanderbilt's a good defense. Well, you know what? You gotta treat them like they're Vanderbilt. You gotta treat them that they're a peasant society, essentially. Okay? So you go for it. Okay, you don't make it. But then you know what? You turn around, you tell your defense, you know what? Take care of it. And Derek Barnett took care of it. And then the next drive, the offense took care of it again. So to me, that was the turning point of it, and I think that's a learning point for this coaching staff. And yep. I'll just end it here that, you know, hey, you know what? I learned from my mistakes. I'm going to put my trust in you a little bit more. And in 2016, sky's the limit.
Eric, what time is it in Germany?
2:02 a.m.
It's time for you to get pumped up, brother, because 2016, listen to me now. 1 year from tonight, you're going to be on here, and we're going to be talking about the playoffs that we're getting ready to go to after we defeat somebody from the Western Division. Have you a great day. Thank you. I want you to think about that. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eric's in Germany, showing the reach of Vol Nation. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Hey, it was a close football game in the first half. People get so bent out of shape when somebody makes a play on your defense. Hey, like Johnny Majors used to say, who's going to be with us, by the way, on In the Pocket Thursday night on the TV show. It's called Division I players, man. Guys are going to make plays on you. Speaking of Division I players, Bino, go ahead, Brock.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bino.
I was a little bit frustrated too, Tony, just because of the big chunk plays they were getting that they didn't seem to get against anyone else. It almost appeared like our defense thought this one was going to be easy, but they forgot the effort that they put into making the Missouri game easy. But even when they were struggling, they make two big plays. They get a third and two stop, and then they get the interception at the end of the half to keep the game basically a two-score game to where they could run off and leave Vandy in the third quarter.
And by the way, how about my guy TK Jr., who plays for whatever reason sparingly, but when he plays, he makes plays.
That's a ball magnet.
When he plays, he makes plays.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony, what the deal is with him. Maybe he's not a practice player or something, but he sure is a ball hawk.
Tennessee wins 53-28. The Vols rush for, as I said off the top, 331 yards.
Man.
And your leading rushers, Hurd has 120, Kamara 99 on only 16 carries, and Dobbs 11 carries, 93 yards. By the way, Derrick Henry staking his claim to the Heisman in a win over Auburn. And as he goes over, Beano, are you ready for this? 200 yards for the fourth time on the year. And let me give the living listener at home just a brief idea of what that means, the magnitude of what we're talking about here. This puts him in some rare error. 200-yard rushing games in a single season. Herschel Walker, 1980, did it four times. Bo Jackson, 1985, did it four times. And Henry, with four 200-yard games. Let's go back to the phones.
Ooh, that's good company, Ben.
Tennessee rolls Vanderbilt today, 58-28. And I was glad to see them run the offense at the end. Very glad to see them run the offense at the end. Let's get our next call in and let Dormady play. Let's get our next call in and Mighty Joe Young gets a touchdown. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of Derrick Henry, you know how many carries you got tonight?
I think he got 40 carries.
46 carries. Try that on, big boy.
Yep.
Boy, that's a bunch of toting it.
46 carries.
And we finally got Kamara 16. So I want to congratulate Bus Jones on that. But did John Kelly steal something, or is he hurt?
He's hurt, Jake. He was. I heard that on the post game that he's got an injury he's dealing with.
Okay. Well, that's good, but I tell you what, guys, it was good to see Kamara get 16 carries finally. And even with those three to four carries he's been getting all year, he's been averaging right at 6.2 yards a carry. And even with 16 carries tonight, he kept that average up there.
What I like about Kamara and also Hurd behind the scenes is those guys get along great. You're not going to see any Ezekiel Elliott with one guy shooting on another. Of course, next year the stakes get a little higher, so we'll see how that plays out. Tennessee's about to go into a different deal here. So Colby will mention how the script is about to be flipped. This might be the final time for a while, guys, where we're in hunter mode, because we're about to be the hunted.
Let me tell you what I'm most encouraged about more than anything from today is Andre Ware, when he said that Josh Dobbs is further advanced at this point in his career at throwing the football than Cam Newton is. I know we're going to win the national championship next year.
Hey, hey,
Tony, did you hear that?
I heard him say it. He not only said it, he kept going back to it. Hey, Tom Hart listens to this, okay? Because I know he does, because he tweets me from time to time as he's listening. Tom, would you please tell Andre Ware to stop that? Here's what Cam Newton and Josh Dobbs have in common. They are both black quarterbacks. That's it. What those guys have in common, what does he keep saying that for? Andre Ware, you are embarrassing yourself. Stop that. Josh Dobbs, we love him. He's a fine leader of men. I love him to death. I think he's a great story.
I think he is too, Tony. time.
He can't throw the ball, though. I mean, you know, as we say in the South, before you rip somebody, God bless him. God bless him. He can't throw the football. He's just not a very good passer. God bless him.
Being at the game, sometimes it's a little harder to tell, but, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that Josh had his best all-around football game tonight.
Oh, I agree with that.
Running and throwing. There were very few throws that I questioned very much tonight, and I thought he made a couple of nice throws, both from the pocket and rolling out. So I thought tonight was his best all-around play that we've seen.
Yeah, I think you're right. And he plays within himself, and he's a smart player. And you know, you watch some other guys play like this. Armstrong the third from Nebraska yesterday, who just completely cost them the game against Iowa. He's brutal. So I appreciate Josh Dobbs, but I'm not going to compare him to Cam Newton. That's absurd.
Hey, but Tony, I agree with you. I like to, and you know what? Last week, when I said I wanted us to play Michigan in a bowl game, I thought that Jim Harbaugh would pull Bush Jones' pants down. But now I want to see his plan because I think Ohio State exposed them a little bit today. I think we can beat Michigan.
Absolutely.
And I would rather play them this year than I would next year or the year after.
I want a test. I want a challenge. And I thank you for the call. I'm going to run through as many people tonight as I can. Don't anybody get hurt feelings. Ole Miss defeats Mississippi State 28-3. We have millions of people that want to call and millions of listeners around the world tonight, including Eric, who's out in Germany. If you want to get on with us, 865-200-5402, as that caller vacates. Ole Miss 28-3 over Mississippi Mistake. That's probably not a good result for the State fans. Probably not what they thought they'd see tonight.
No, Tony, I mean, that's a, I think the line on the game was one. Mississippi State was a 1-point underdog. And that's, of course, that was still just in the second quarter, but, Mississippi State doesn't have an offense that makes you think they're going to come from very far back.
We learned that from the Kentucky game today. In these games, you never know. I want to hear Butch Jones. I'm gonna break.
Eight wins.
Let's listen here.
Obviously,
let's listen in
Matt,
live.
Five consecutive wins. But first of all, just really proud of our players and particularly our seniors. We talked about finishing. Everything in our program is based off of finishing, and we're learning how to finish. So I'm just proud of the resolve and the resiliency of this football team, particularly led by our senior class. This is a team that did not let adversity define who we are, just kept grinding and building it and putting their head down and just working every day, their consistency and approach. You know, this football team has been mentally ready to play for 12 games, and that is very difficult to do. And you do that with great leadership, great competitive character, and great character in your football program, and we have that, and we have something that we're building very, very special here. But as we all know, it takes time to build, but you're starting to see it manifest within the confines of Anderson Training Center, and just proud of our players. Continuous improvement. You look at the special teams game, I believe that was our sixth special teams touchdown of the year. Zach Azani runs our punt return team. And those guys take great pride in their performance. And what can I say about Cam Sutton and, you know, the 10 other individuals that are blocking for him? You know, that was a great defense, allowing 18 points per game. The third quarter was very, very big. We outgained them 201-15. We had 12 plays of over 15 yards, just a complete win. I do think that this is one of the best stories in all of college football. With a young football team coupled with a resilient group of seniors and how far we've come, just proud of them. And, you know, you go through football seasons and sometimes some of them go slow and some of them go fast. And, you know, just talking with these kids, it's hard to believe that the regular season is over with. And it's one of those years and the momentum that we have, you don't want it to end. And that's a tribute to these kids. It's a tribute, again, to everyone in our football organization. We have one game left. We'll take some time off, heal up a little bit, and get back to work here at the end of the week. So I'll answer any questions you may have.
Coach, against some of the better run defenses you faced in the SEC, you've done very well. You probably average about 100 yards more per game against what they gave up. What do you think was the key to that this year?
I think our players continue to gain confidence week in and week out. You know, the way we practice, their mentality to run the football. Can't say enough about our offensive line and how much they've grown and developed. Our wide receivers take great pride in their blocking. Our tight ends have improved greatly in their blocking. And, you know, we have some talented running backs as well. And I think when you add that all together, it makes for a great mix of being able to do some special things. And you're right. I believe I looked at the stats and out of the top 10 defenses, we faced four of them in the country going into this game. And, you know, when you look at where we're at in terms of total offense, points per game, being able to run the football, they've come a long way. And I think our coaching staff has done a great job. I think Mike DeBoard has done an unbelievable job of setting the mentality in playing complementary football. You know, there was critical points in the game. You know, we go for it on fourth and one, which we have to be able to get. We don't do that. But our defense forces a safety. And then we're ahead again of the field position. We answered when Vanderbilt scored a few times, we answered it with responding with getting points on the board. And again, that just stems from confidence and great resolve. And again, we had some individuals step up and make some big plays tonight.
Let's talk about the adjustments defensively and really coming out strong in the third quarter on that side of the ball.
Well, we did. We made some adjustments. And, you know, Ralph Webb is a really, really good football player. And, you know, they did some different things on balance. We missed some checks here or there. And you know, that was on us. And to our players, you know, to their tribute, they adjusted, got the calls in, and they performed very well. And provided a spark for us, particularly in the third quarter.
Butch, while you sit here and take some time off and wait on your postseason fate, how important was it for your team to close its season with this kind of performance for momentum, for bowl practice, or perhaps to catch the eye of the bowl selection process?
You just answered the question for me. It was monumental. It was big. And first and foremost for our players, you know, to finish strong, they've worked so hard. They've been through so much this year. Again, you know, for this senior class, you know, we're in the huddle, I think, with about 11 minutes to go in the game, and we're going out on offense. And, you know, I told them, enjoy these 11 minutes, because life goes fast. Time goes fast. And, but all that, again, we have a lot of momentum. I believe we're one of the best teams in the country, and our players believe that. And there's a lot of positive energy surrounding our program, and that's a tribute to our players, our staff, and their work ethic.
Butch, Jalen didn't find a bunch of room in the first half, then he exploded in the second half. Did you see something change in his demeanor? Or, I guess, what was the difference there for him?
Just, you know, we were able to get him to the second level. He runs the ball very hard. Again, you know, we felt we had to wear them down with tempo and running the football, and they're a very, very good defense. Again, they're giving up 18 points per game. They're going to have success, you know. But, again, we talked about running the ball with patience. You know, when you play the great defenses, you know, Jimmy, when you asked, you know, the other thing is having patience, is understanding that a two-yard gain, getting the dirty yards, a zero gain and not having a tackle for loss, a four-yard gain, a five-yard gain, and methodically moving the ball, those are all positives. And I think that's a mentality, you know, that we talk about within, you know, the offensive line room and the backs and everyone, is that, you know, when you run the football, you know, you have to be patient with it. And I think sometimes you tend to be impatient and you expect to have a big run all the time. And, you know, you're getting 4 yards, 5 yards a gain, sometimes 3 yards a gain. Those are all positive yardage football plays, being able to stay on schedule with manageable third downs.
Tennessee wins today rather handily, rather easily over Vanderbilt as the Vols tack on a half a hundred. And Butch Jones just said a few moments ago, fast season. We're one of the best stories in college football. I believe we're one of the top 10 teams in the country, which echoes the sentiments of none other than Jerry Glanville, who joins me on Thursdays on my show. He's been telling me for some time that he believes, Coach Glanville believes this is one of the 10 best teams in the country. He went on and cited Mike DeBoard today. He said we face four of the top 10 defenses in the country. And this team has really grown from the beginning of the year until now. I'm pretty thrilled with where the program is heading into the bowl season. Bino, your thoughts on Butch Jones's comments? And then we'll
Tony,
go back to the
phones. Thought the one thing that he said that really stood out that I don't believe can be denied is I believe the, and he didn't say this, but in the course of what he was talking about, the thought came to my mind. I believe that the best accomplishment of both this staff and the roster was keeping this thing from running off the rails when you had two just gut-wrenching losses early in the season. With a reasonably young football team, it would have been real easy for this thing to go in the wrong direction. And Kyler Kurvison told us after Alabama he would not lose another football game while he was at the University of Tennessee, and he's kept that promise to this point.
He speaks the truth, doesn't he?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm happy for those guys. Those seniors, they went through more than any senior group in the history of this program. God bless.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is the number. If you want to get in with us, let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many folks in as we can on a night where Tennessee absolutely rolls Vanderbilt 53-28. Tennessee rushing for over 300 yards, 523 yards of total offense, possessing the football 31 minutes, blowing Vanderbilt out. Order has been restored in the state. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony, Paisan.
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
How you doing? How you doing, Bino? Outstanding, Paisan. I got to tell you, when's the last time after the last game of the year that we felt this good? How long has it been?
Ooh, at least 2007.
Yeah. And guys, I'll tell you right now, unless the powers to be, Tony, us in Michigan would be not only a classic matchup, you're talking about two tradition-rich schools. They'd be crazy not to take Michigan and Tennessee. Because you got two teams that travel well. You imagine Harbaugh against Jones. Think about it.
It's going to be, I'm telling you. It's going to be what bowl season should be about. You know, you have those playoff teams, and then put me together some made-for-TV matchups.
Hey, Tony, if they put us and Michigan together besides the playoffs, that'll be the best bowl game of the season.
When's the last time we played there, guys? Was it against Wisconsin? After the 2007 season?
Well, we had the game with the guy that runs for Houston down there, played for us, runs his mouth. It fumbled 15 times against Joe Paul's team. I remember that game.
Yeah, I believe we were there in 2007. The Foster game, I can't remember what year that was. I'd have to look back to see. But it's been a while since we've been there. You know, there's been some history of the Outback passing us up in times when we thought we should be there, but it makes perfect sense this year. We've certainly earned that slot.
Oh,
although
yeah.
They say those group of six are all the same now. You're not going to convince me that the Outback Bowl is the same as the Liberty Bowl. You can talk all that you want to, but
absolutely.
I'm not convinced.
No, no way.
Tony, I want to ask you a question now. We're talking about the top 10 in the country and the top 5 or whatever. I'll tell you what I go by. From the West Coast to the East Coast, and we've played all the SEC teams, How many teams do you think in this country right now like to play Tennessee?
Not, I'm telling you. Jerry Glanville told me on the air and off the air, if there are 10 teams better than Tennessee, I'd like to see them.
Yeah.
If, with a straight face, we should come into next season thinking division championship and an opportunity to get into a playoff. What do I mean? It's kind of this simple. If Florida this year, as pedestrian as they are at times, even with their quarterback limitations, if they can get a win tonight, which they're not going to, but if they could get a win tonight and get a win next week in the championship game, they'd be in the playoff. Or they'd have a damn pretty good, strong case to be made. And really, I would love to see Tennessee put themselves in that position. You don't have to have a perfect regular season to do it. You get one mulligan out of the East with the talent this team has heading into next season. I think that's totally within the realm of possibility.
And Tony, I think I will say this. You know, I think this team has learned how to win. They know what winning is tonight because, you know, Vanderbilt played around with them, played them tough the first half, and then they just buried their ass. I mean,
yeah.
That's the difference in now and just going back even to the first of this year, don't you think?
I don't think there's any question. Paisan, I thank you for the call. The thing that I love about Tennessee is that they've managed the last two football games the way you manage football games. In other words, Alabama tonight had a sequence where Auburn had a play to be made and they didn't make it. Alabama comes right back and they have a dagger drive and they score a touchdown. Tennessee tonight had a situation where the Vanderbilt quarterback did not make the proper read. He had a touchdown in the middle of the field to his tight end. He chose to throw the ball to his wide receiver on the left side. And after that, Tennessee made them pay the price. And that's what you do when you're a team that's aspiring to play or getting ready to play rarefied air football. You make that other team pay for that mistake. Hey, you know what? I didn't think much of that Oklahoma team earlier in the season. And Oklahoma has been the beneficiary of playing a lot of teams with injured quarterbacks and this and that. They've had kind of a little magical run here. Will it hold up tonight? I don't know. But I'll say this for Oklahoma. They're used to winning. And in that game we played them, Bino, when we opened the door, they walked right through it. That's where we're getting ready to go, I do believe, here.
The next step, Tony, is winning the games that change your season from good to special. And we've got a four-game stretch in the middle of next season in October, late September and October, where I believe we play, and I can't say the order. I believe it's Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. They're all together there.
Yep.
That's when you either make your season special or you settle for something a little less. We've got to take the step to have a special season.
And here's the thing, and I'm not here to throw any pressure on the 2016 team. It's not going to be there because I'm not saying anything that those announcers tonight that were doing the game or the commentators around the country aren't saying. You look at Georgia, and they're always going to be talented with Mark Richt. There's too much talent in that state for them not to be talented. But at the best, they're going to come in the next season with a true freshman quarterback. They should not be beating you with a true freshman quarterback. I don't care where that game's played. Florida next year, with that appeal denied for Greer, is either going to have Neon Treon or another signal caller. We're going to have a senior under center next year. That should be a win. That should be time to end that streak.
That's right.
It's year four. It is time. This team right here has taken a step forward by finishing. And kudos to Kyler Kurvison, who's been a great leader, for helping to usher in this new era and saying, in a mini Tim Tebow kind of way, see that game right there? That was our last loss. And he made it hold up.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Butch Jones.
Looking at the schedule.
Yeah.
September 24th, Florida at home.
Yeah.
then the first three Saturdays of October, we're at Georgia, at Texas A&M, and Alabama at home. That's when we determine if our season's special or not.
Back to the phones we go. Butch Jones called it a fast season. Said we're one of the best stories in college football. I believe we're one of the 10 best teams in college football. What say you? 865-200-5402. As we talk about it tonight, Vandy's back to being candy. Tennessee beats the living hell out of them. There were some nasty tackles in the game, Bino, where we were picking up and dumping and body slamming people tonight. I mean, that felt like some old school Tennessee Vandy out there today.
Yeah, it did. Those two teams absolutely do not like each other, and you could tell it out there tonight. And we gave them a good thrashing, like Tennessee should give Vandy.
Felt like that 94 game all over again.
Yeah, they're going through. I believe that the 52 points we or 53 we scored on them tonight's the most since we scored like 62 in somewhere around 96 or something like that.
Those are the good old days. 94, I think, is the game.
Yeah.
And it was down there, and I think we had I think one of our guys got a broken leg in that game. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, Aaron Hayden.
Aaron Hayden broke his leg.
I'll tell you what I remember about that game, Tony. Your buddy Kevin Mays, we ran a touchdown of about 50 yards, and somehow he pancaked someone in the back of the end zone after we had run for the touchdown. He'd already blown his man completely out of play. He just kept running downfield blocking people and wound up pancaking somebody in the end zone on like a 50-yard touchdown.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. I want Michigan down there in the same game where Tennessee played, 06 Penn State, 07 Wisconsin, in the Outback Bowl. Take the kids. Let's get our next phone call in. Let's welcome in our next caller. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tom, this is Eric in South Georgia. How are you doing?
Eric, welcome in, brother. Good to talk to you.
Young boy says hello to you and go Vols.
He's a good man.
Yeah. Drove home today, got to listen to the game. Once again, my system for getting into the Basilio show works. The first call, first ring, bam, I'm in there.
Gotta love it.
The magic.
It's the maturation of my caller. I don't know what to tell you, bro.
It's our discipline.
It's the next, that's right. It's going to the next level, Pino. I love it, man. Last on your schedule, last in your hearts, last in the SEC. Vanderbilt, there
we go.
That's how you take care of Vanderbilt. I love it. And, I remember that game in 94. That was brutal. That was 65 to nothing, right? I mean, just absolutely destroyed those guys. That's exactly the way you need to take care of them. Just pound the crap out of those guys.
In a perfect world, they don't get the last 14 tonight. We do.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're a young team, and he threw a lot of kids out there and let them play, and I've got no fault with that. He let guys like George Bullock go out there, attempt an extra point, which I think is a nice touch for him, a local kid. I mean, those are things, you know, that memories that don't grow on trees. I love seeing Dormady out there tonight. Let some of the kids play on defense, even though it wasn't pretty. Even on the kick team, they had to take a timeout and get the right personnel out there. It was an imperfect thing, but it was a complete blowout tonight, an absolute blowout.
Great stuff. And it does. This season has gone by fast. Because it seems like only yesterday that Derek Mason was telling us that they didn't need to ask our permission, which immediately after that they were asking for forgiveness, which you just can't make this up. I mean, this is Vanderbilt at its best, right? You know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was awful.
Permission denied.
Yeah, exactly.
And that Alvin Kamara, man, he's a weapon. Around my house, we like to call him the AK, just like the AK-47. So I can already see replacing the musket on the Tennessee Rifleman logo with the AK silhouette, but the gun control people would probably flip on that. But I think it would be hilarious. That AK, he's awesome.
Heck yeah, put 47 on him and put AK on the back of his jersey.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, and, you know, did I see us? I think we set Hurd up for some success tonight. I swear a couple times I saw them pulling a guard and get him a lead blocker. Alex Ellis on the touchdown run, he pulled over and, man, you could drive a truck through the hole that he went through. That's what, you know, that's the difference between, just like you were saying, Bino, being good and being great. is right now Hurd's performances have been, you know, mostly good, but you get this guy to the second level of the defense and get him ahead of steam, son, it's over. Because they ran that same play, I think it was on the next drive, and he broke it like down to the, you know, 10-yard line or something, just ran out of space. You start doing that for Hurd, man, he is just going to flatten some folks. He is going to wear it out next year.
That's why he's
those little wrinkles.
Yeah, I love the Eddie George comparisons people make because he kind of reminds me of him. But not only that, Eddie George was a great finisher of runs, both at the collegiate level and at the professional level. He was unreal in the second level of a defense. But Butch Jones said something tonight that's really true about Hurd, which is whether he's just getting back to the line of scrimmage or whether he's gaining 15, 20, 25, 30 yards, or even if it's just a 4-yard run, garden variety, ground-the-clock type run, the guy finishes his runs. That guy is purposeful every time he has the football in his hands. He is a scary proposition, but the play you talk about tonight where they pull Wiseman and then they get Ellis to seal was picture perfect. I mean, I'm talking Vince Lombardi back in the day in the film room is looking at the pack back in the mid-60s and going, guys, this is how we do it right here. This is Packer football. It was picture perfect football. And for Ellis to have that moment on senior night, you know it's got to feel good.
That's right. Run to daylight, babe. And
you got it.
Still be running.
He could still be running. Could have eaten a hot dog on his way to the stadium.
That's right. Pay these prices and pay no more.
You got it.
Hey, I don't think the Outback Bowl passes Tennessee over if we get to that point. I mean, when we got passed over with the Outback, somebody help me on this. Yeah, I think it was like 2003. We wound up in the Peach Bowl and they took Florida, even though Florida had a worse record than we did. We beat them head to head. And the talk was, hey, it's Florida and they're going to kind of, you know, be in the bag for the home team. But this year, Florida's pretty much set up for, you know, being the number two team in conference and going to the Sugar Bowl. So I don't really see us getting passed over for that if, you know, everything else plays out the way that it is. And I agree with y'all. That would be a tremendous matchup to get Tennessee and Michigan together. I mean, who else are you going to throw in there? Would you want to throw, LSU in there? I mean, who's, are they still going to have Les Miles as a coach? No.
How badly have they bungled that? I had Mike Dettelier on my daily show, who's a great fixture down there, who told me that he had 1.5 feet out the door, which is the narrative all week, and that he was pretty sure that Jimbo Fisher was on the line, otherwise they wouldn't be doing this. But Joe Aleva is being pushed by a young band of renegade young boosters down there, new money in the LSU deal, not your regular conservative type top boosters at a lot of these schools, the older folks, the septuagenarians, the octogenarians. These are guys in their 40s and 50s who have come into money, who want to show it, who want to be flashy, who will pay Les Miles $15 million to go away just because they're bored with him. And then today, the reports break that, down at the Palm Beach Post, that Jimbo Fisher is not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden, ESPN, a couple hours later, has a report out that, well, Joe Aleva says the door is still open for Les Miles to return. Here's my question. How are you going to fire a guy that's won 80% of his games with a number one recruiting class in the country?
Yeah.
We would kill for that. I would kill for that here.
Exactly. The swamp people must be getting, I don't know about it, the swamp people, they must be getting upset down there. They got to get the Les Miles out there. Yo, that's no good. We can't lose to Nick Saban again. It's like.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody, newsflash, everybody loses to Nick Saban. That'd have been like Tennessee firing Philip Fulmer back in the 90s. That's what they're talking about. Yeah. You know that, Bino? That's what they're talking about.
It's crazy, Tony. It's not like, I mean, they thought we were crazy, and Philip Fulmer had two losing seasons in his last four. Show me why Les Miles should be fired.
He's got the number one class, guys, in the country. It's crazy.
Well, hey, you know, what was it? Who was it? I think it was I don't know, like Napoleon or something. Somebody help me out. But guy had a good quote, says, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. So for LSU, all your big money and everything, you want to get rid of Les Miles, I say more power to you. Go right on ahead. Because if you're going to have Les Miles be the new Philip Fulmer, then perhaps Butch, with his maturation and resiliency and consistency, he can become the new Les Miles. And if he starts winning less like Les Miles, we'll be good to go, babe.
Eric, thank you. Great call. Beautiful South Georgia. 865-200-5402.
Tony, we got Eric's from Georgia to Germany. You think this isn't a good show?
It's unbelievable. This is so fun to do. They had to cart a cameraman off at the Bedlam game, Bino, who got struck before the game started tonight. You talk about going to be a rough night down there in the ice and snow and the freezing rain and everything else. Jeez Louise.
One thing we found out yesterday, you can't play that Big 12 football in Big 10 weather.
No, you can't.
TCU-Baylor game.
That was kind of refreshing to see that,
it
you
was.
Know?
I was glad to see it. I was glad to see that maybe they'll realize you can't play flag football in the elements.
865-200-5402. I want to thank Bino for leading off as our guest tonight. Dubsy's a little under the weather. Photographer got injured in the end zone before the game started. They knew it was going to be a weird night down there this evening. Photographer injured in the end zone. Something happened. Carted off the field after being trampled by players. A female photographer, Bino, when they came out the tunnel. She got trampled.
Golly, Bob.
You talk about a team that's jacked up and ready to play the game. We're trampling the media. They say she's going to be okay. Let's go back. And maybe the most myopic comment of all time, Matt Hudson says, could we possibly get Les Miles a coordinator position here? No, Matt. No, we can't possibly do that. But thanks for asking. Let's go back to the phones. I hope he's not serious. Because that
one
might be.
One thing I don't want Miles as is our quarterback coach.
I would say that's true. I would say that's true. Portions of tonight's program presented by our friends at Smartway. Online at gosmartway.net. 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. You will check them out at gosmartway.net. For your everything for your home store where you're going to pay your way. What do I mean? Well, say you go in and you pick up a refrigerator. Or you get a washing machine. Or you want a new kitchen suit. Or a dining room set, or whatever it is, television, and you want to buy it on, make payments, cool. You select how much you're going to pay and how frequent the payments, and you change that contract anytime you want to. Huh? That's why we call it the Smart Way. Find out more, gosmartway.net online, as I go back to the phones on your Smart Way Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter, fan reaction. Let's go back to the phones and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's your name, man?
Hey, fabulous,
hey.
Fredulous.
This is Eric from Oak Ridge.
Good.
Hey, Tony, you just talking about the top 25, which has always been a joke. That's why we have all these other contrived processes now. But I was noticing this week, there's two polls in the paper. I don't remember which one, but I always look at the bottom, the teams getting votes, and the Appy States of the world were in there in Western Kentucky. We weren't in there, but Bowling Green was, who we had beaten 30 points, okay? I agree with you. We got a top 10 basic football team now, but I wouldn't have any hope of us jumping in them top 25s just out of nowhere, so.
Look at the back of that top 25. You going to tell me Tennessee is not a top 25 team based on their body of work this year? And I know what you're saying. I just think it'd be neat to be ranked.
I haven't looked at any of the computer polls. I'm going to try to look some of those up where they do strength schedule losses and all that. Somebody's probably got us in the top 15 in one of those. So.
Where's Jerry Palm when we need him?
Yeah. Guys, here's what's going to happen. You want to talk about 2016 schedule? Florida's going to roll in here on September 24th. We're going to have one of the longest win streaks in the country. We're going to have about a 9-game winning streak when they show up. And it's going to be the game of the Butch Jones era.
What game, Freddie?
Florida.
No question.
September 24th. We'll be ranked in the top 10. If we beat them,